Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today, if you didn't pick up from our drama, today's theme is about gratitude no matter the circumstance. And as I was thinking about this gratitude, I was remembering a number of years ago when our church got broken into. Not this church, I promise, not this church. Previous church. The unfortunate thing is break-ins happened enough that it wasn't an unusual occurrence and it didn't create emergencies. But this particular break-in, they'd gone into the sanctuary and had broken into our sound booth, and one of the things that they had stolen was our worship laptop that we did all of our projections and videos and words by, and it was something we really needed to be able to do worship. And we tried to go through insurance, and certain things were going to be taken care of, but we realized that insurance wouldn't cover what we needed for the laptop. We tried to figure out what in the world we were going to do. And I was sitting in the office, church office one day, doing my church office stuff. And this was in the back of my brain of how do we take care of this? Because you know what? Worship's coming on Sunday, and we're going to be able to need to sing the words with the praise band. And how are we going to do this? And one of our church leaders walked in, a man by the name of Bob, and he was on his lunch break from work and came in, and I thought he was coming in just to say hi, and I was excited to see Bob. And he explained that he and his wife had been talking about our dilemma with the church laptop and had decided that they wanted to help. And I thought, awesome, they want to help. And here I'm thinking Bob's going to hand me a check. Well, Bob didn't have a check in his hand or in his pocket. But he reached into his pocket and he pulled something out by his fingers. And I thought, okay, how's Bob gonna help? And he reached it out to me and I held out my hand and Bob put it in my hand. And I tell you, it felt like a dime. It was the size of a dime. It looked a lot like a dime, but maybe like a dime from another country. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this and through my brain is going, is he pulling a practical joke on me? Is he testing me? What is Bob doing in this situation? And all of those thoughts that were going through my head must have been clear on my face because he goes, you have no idea what's in your hand, do you? And I smiled at Bob. And I said, I have no idea what this is. I think you're going to need to explain it to me. And he said, Pastor, what's in your hand is pure gold. He said, that's worth almost $500. All of a sudden, I held that dime a whole lot tighter, right? I had no idea what I was holding. And even more so, I had no idea the value of what I was holding. Had he not told me, I could have discarded it into the drawer of my desk, thinking it wasn't worth taking the time to go to the bank to exchange it for what we needed for the computer. But here he let me know what I had was something more valuable than I could have imagined, was handed to me out of his pocket. Today, as we talk about gratitude, there's oftentimes the level of our gratitude is showing that we don't understand fully the value of what we have, especially what we have in having the God that we have. Much like our drama this morning, we can sit in the shoes of some of the people that were up here. We can make our list of grumblings and our complaints, the aches and the pains that we feel and the disappointments that we face and the challenges of this world. Just open up the news and you can grumble for hours. And it can be so easy to have that list and to put it first in what we think about. But when we do that, we're like me with that coin, and not understanding what we have. That above any of that, above any of our grumblings, above any of our needs, above any of our disappointments and aches and pains, we have a God who loves us unconditionally and is pouring blessings out upon us that we don't even see or recognize. So how is it that we change this? How is it that we change our approach to our day, to our life, to what our thoughts and heart is focused on? And that's by taking an attitude of gratitude. And I begin it with a quote from one of my favorite authors by the name of Brennan Manning. And in his book, Ruthless Trust, he says this related to gratitude. He says, when somebody is aware of God's love, the same love that the Father has for Jesus, that person is just spontaneously grateful. Cries of thankfulness become the dominant characteristic of the interior life, and the byproduct of gratitude is joy. We are not joyful and then become grateful. We are grateful, and that makes us joyful. If we're sitting in a situation in our life where we're not living with joy, where we're not approaching our day with joy, when we're not walking out the door with joy, maybe it's not because we lack stuff or have needs, but maybe it's because we lack gratitude in our hearts and in the way that we live our life. How is it that we see the gift of God to recognize its value and to allow gratitude to turn our life into joy? Part of this, I believe, is understanding the concept of communication, giving thanks, and showing love. I've really appreciated being introduced to Gary Chapman's idea of the 5 love languages. I don't know if you're aware of the 5 love languages, but he says every person is attuned to one of 5 love languages that is the one that speaks to them the most and touches them the most. And he says these 5 love languages are words of affirmation, the spoken word, quality time spent between people, acts of service given to somebody, the gift of human touch, and actual tangible gifts. What he says is that each person values one of these above all others, and utilizing this language is the way to best communicate love to them. To give you an example, I go back to when I was working with a preschool director. And she's the one that introduced me to these love languages. And she had let me know that she utilizes these love language to show care and appreciation and love for her teachers and for her staff. And so she has taken attention and time to figure out the love language of each of her teachers and staff so that she can intentionally, on a daily basis, utilize these languages to make sure that her teachers know that they are loved and appreciated in the job that they were doing. So those who have words of affirmation as their love language, she knew that each day she needed to take intentional time, face to face with eye contact, to speak words of kindness, thanksgiving, and care for them. That she knew that they needed those words of affirmation to speak to them and to allow them to feel uplifted. And so she would take that intentional time to speak those words over them each day. For those whose love language is quality time, she would make sure to take intentional time of knowing when their breaks were or when their lunch was, and to go take time to sit down with them and to spend a few good quality minutes with them, checking in with them and having that time with them to show her care for them. For those whose love language is acts of service, she would go in and help them out in the classroom. She would do things for them. She would help them carry things, making intentional time to do acts of service for them, picking things up in the classroom, at the end of the day, helping them to close up. Intentional acts of service so that they could feel appreciated and loved. For those who it was a gift of touch, she would make sure when she talked to them that it might be a touch on the arm so that they knew that she was listening and that they could feel that touch and the power of love that came through it. It was intentionally making time to give them a hug at the beginning of the day to say, I'm so glad that you're here. A hug at the end of the day to say, have a good rest of the day, I'll see you tomorrow. Making sure to have that intentional embrace so that they knew that they were loved. And finally, the last, with those who need those tangible gifts, she would find things at the dollar store. She would make notes on post-it notes and put it on their desk so they could hold it and pick it up and see those words of thanks that came with it and feel her appreciation through it. What do these love languages say? But they say that expressing love and expressing gratitude isn't about us, but understanding the other. So I thought, well, that helps us with human to human. But I began to wonder if God has love languages. Does God have ways that God wants us to express our gratitude, to express our faith, to express our love and worship and reverence for the one that created us? And going into scripture, I thought, for sure, here it is. Let's look at our scripture this morning. Our scripture this morning in Psalm 100, it says, shout for joy. It says, worship the Lord. It says, know that the Lord is God. And it says, enter his gates. Four verbs that help us to see how it is that we give praise and thanksgiving to God, of how it is that we use our voice, how it is that we use our hearts, how it is that we use our feet, how it is that we use our whole being. But I thought there's got to be more than this. Where can I go for examples of how others have shown gratitude and honor to God that we can imitate? And I immediately went to the Old Testament, in particular thinking about Jacob. Jacob, who had been in times where he so desperately needed God. Jacob, when he sat by to the side of the river, wrestling with God and seeking God's blessing. And each time Jacob had an encounter with God, Jacob set up an altar, stacking rocks on top of one another to build it up and poured oil over it and blessed it and named the spot and said, this is a place where I encountered God. And through that altar forever, if he or somebody else would pass it, they would see that that is a place where God interceded into somebody's life and they also could give praise and thanks for what God had done, just like Jacob had done. This act of altar building, this act of making physical memorials of time with God is throughout our scriptures. And it makes me wonder, when we are wanting to express our gratitude to God, are we building reverent altars? Are we making memorials and setting up tangible ways that when we see it, when we pass it, when we look upon it, it turns our heart to gratitude, to remember that God is God, and to remember where God had interceded into our lives. Of how is it that we have those tangible reminders, those tangible acts of saying, God, this is an action that I take. I build this, I make this, I write this for you to know how grateful I am that you are in my life and that you are my God. But then I also see in scripture examples like David. And what did David do? David wrote, right? There's psalm after psalm after psalm, and so many attributed to David. And what did he do? But he wrote his words of gratitude and faith and love down into poetry and into song. He used his mighty pen to put his thoughts and his faith into words and onto paper that we are blessed to still have today. The love language of God comes in that writing. God says, write my words, my law upon your heart. Tell it to your children and teach it to them, those words over and over that tell of who I am and reminds you to give glory and honor and praise to me. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe it's about getting a journal and just writing gratitudes in it. filling the pages with the little and big blessings of God. That when you need a moment of gratitude, you can go and read, and it turns your heart to gratitude and brings joy into your life through it. How is it that we use our words, whether it's pen and paper or fingers to keys, of how it is that we are writing in a way that expresses gratitude to God and reminds us who God is in our lives? This one's not mine, but I tell you of things that can be yours. Sometimes it's singing it. Not mine. But, Donna, hope you don't mind. Every Tuesday in Bible study, there seems to always come a point, and Donna says, I got a song for that. I got a song that says that one. I got a song that's of that scripture. I've got a song that tells of what that is. One thing it tells me is music is a love language of Donna, right? But it reminds us that music is a love language of God, that God is the one that gifted us with the beauty of music. God is the one that gifted us with music as a way to be able to memorize things that are difficult. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, yep, I have to still sing the song. God gave us the gift of song. And that gift of song is a way for us to express love and gratitude to God if we utilize it. When we sit and sing, when we allow a tune to get into our head that won't get out, maybe that tune is in our head and won't get out until our heart turns to one of praise and gratitude and embraces that song as a way of speaking to God and affirming to God the faith that we have. Song is a gift that we have to speak love to God. And finally, in those acts of service, we see it throughout the scripture just as well, of those who feel God into their lives. And what do? But they take that and they harness it and they use it to serve others. One of the ways that we can express our gratitude to God is paying that blessing forward, taking care of somebody else. When God does something for us that we can't do for ourselves, which happens on a daily basis, we can show gratitude by doing something for somebody else that they can't do for themselves. Helping somebody else, taking care of them, showing love to them by the love of God in us. You see, this gratitude and this attitude that comes with it and the joy that's a byproduct can come in so many different forms. It's a matter of us taking the intentional time to assess the value of what we have, realizing that that value cannot be calculated, and with that, showing gratitude for God, to God, for all that we have, finding our way to express it, making the intentional time for that expression, and being able to see how it changes the way we live our lives and how our heart will beat for God. My friends, I end us with this prayer of gratitude, as sometimes the words come from elsewhere. Sometimes the power is in prayer. Will you pray with me? Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Know that the Lord is good. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Never forget what the Lord has done for you, how he led you out of slavery into the land flowing with milk and honey, a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey, a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. But when you have eaten your fill, when you have become prosperous and built fine homes to live in, when your flocks and herds have become large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, then take care. Take care that you don't become proud, that you don't become so full of yourself and your achievements that you forget the Lord your God, from whose hand all these good things come. Instead, remember that it is the Lord your God who freed you from slavery in Egypt, who led you through the wilderness, who gave you water to drink when there was no water, who fed you with manna when there was no food, who led you to this land of abundance, and who gives you the strength to earn a living. So praise God for what you have been given. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues to every generation.